We're doing Pirkei de Eliezer, Perek 25, the 25th chapter of the Medrash. And the Medrash had been discussing, we said in the Medrash in the 14th chapter, that God came down 10 times in the world. There were 10 times that God came down. Eso yiridot yarad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Firstly to the Garden of Eden. Secondly to the Dor HaPalaga, when God scattered the world. Thirdly to Sodom. Fourthly in the Sneh, fifthly at Sinai, twice, 6 and 7, within the cave where Moshe was, 8 and 9 in the Ohel Moed, number 10 is going to be in the world to come. So now we're up to number 4, when God came down to see the Sodomites. Number 3, when God came down to see the Sodomites. And our perek is going to focus on the story about Abraham, the angels that come to Avram, then continue going on to Sodom. We're going to learn about which news do you give first to a person, good news or bad news, if you have to tell them to. We're going to learn about Lot's wife, what her name was, and a little bit about Sodom. So, let's begin.
I'm sorry, in the cave with Moshe?
Yeah.
He was in the work.
Go back to when we learned that. Yeah. Let's go. Or remind me later, we'll get back to that. Yeridah Shlishit, the third time God came down, She'arad HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Sodom, God came down to Sodom. We're holding Perek 25, the 25th chapter. Shenemal's the verse states, Erdana ve'ere. God says, let me go down and see the yelling that has come up from Sodom. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God said, Davar gadol shani atid la'asot bo'olami, ani magid l'Avraham o'avi. The amazing, the awesome thing that I'm going to do in my world, I will tell Avraham, my beloved. Shneemar, as the verse states, Vashem Amar, and God said with the, whenever we have Vahashem, with the Vav, Hu Betino, God with His court, Midat Adin, Hamchase ani me'Avraham, am I keeping it hidden from Abraham, that which I am going to do? And the verse states, Ki lo yase Hashem Elokim davar, God does nothing in this world, Ki ingala sodo el avadav hanivim, unless He reveals His secret to His servants, the prophets. The simple understanding of this verse in the prophets is that God does nothing big or small without telling the prophets. And we're going to see later on that Elijah, when the woman who he blessed with a son came to him, he tells his servant Gehazi, he says, go see what she needs because God has hidden from me what's wrong, why she's come. And we see that this was an exception. Elisha refers to it as God has hidden from me. Something happened and God didn't tell me, meaning Elisha was accustomed to being told everything that was happening. And here there are different opinions among the Midrashim. Is it only major things that God informs His prophets or even minor things? Does the prophet know everything that's going on in the world, or does the prophet know only major things? And that was a major thing because Elisha had blessed her with a child. It was relevant to him to know that his prophecy was being undone. The child was dying. Yeah.
This is Elisha, right?
Elisha, yeah. The Navi says it indiscriminately. The Navi says, "Lo yaseh Hashem Elokim davar ki imgala sodo el avadav hanviim." So here, yeah.
Elisha is considered to be
twice Elio.
Twice Elio.
Okay. Rabbi Chanina Omer. Rabbi Chanina says, "Nigla Hakadosh Baruch Hu u'shlosha malachim al Avraham Avinu." God appeared with His three angels to Avraham Avinu. When we learned Parshas Vayera, we discussed the Rambam's understanding of Parshas Vayera, that when the Parsha begins, God appeared to Avram and then says nothing. God didn't say anything to him. Suddenly he sees three angels and three men, and he goes towards the three men. We said the Rambam's understanding was that God appeared to Avram with a vision of prophecy in which he saw three men, and the whole story with the three men and the food and everything was all a vision of prophecy. The Rambam, it seems one of the sources the Rambam used was Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. In much of the Rambam's works, the Rambam even refers to Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer in Mor Nevuchim. And here we see that Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer goes with that. Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer says, God appeared in a vision of prophecy with the three angels, meaning the whole story with the three angels was part of the vision of prophecy. Shneemar, as the verse says, Vayisayin avayalvi neshlosha anashim. He lifted his eyes and he saw, behold, three men. Echad, one of these men was coming. Hitchil mevaser oto al herayon beten shesara ishto. Came to tell him that Sarah was going to be pregnant. Notice, when we learn the Medrash, we should notice the words. The Medrash says, Al herayon betin, the pregnancy in the stomach of Sarah. Why? Because about the concept that Sarah would become pregnant, so that he's going to have a child named Yitzchak. He was told in last week's parasha, he was told in Lech Lecha. Now, he had to be told about the pregnancy in the stomach, and some are of the opinion that when the angels came to Avram, Sarah was already pregnant. When the angels came in the beginning of Vayera, Sarah was already pregnant, and that's why the Medrash says they came to tell him about the pregnancy in the stomach of Sarah, to tell him that Sarah's already pregnant. Shenemar, as the verse states, Lamoed ashuv elecha, at this set time I will return to you and Sarah will have a son. The Echad, one of the men, one of the angels came, Higid lo maaseh Sodom v'Amora, to tell him that which would happen by Sodom and Amora. Shenemar, as the verse continues and says, Vayomer Hashem, God said, Za'akat Sodom v'Amora ki rabba, the yelling from Sodom and Amora is great. Notice, the verse describes it as God saying it, as though to himself. God says, I'll go down and see what's happening in Sodom and Amora. The Medrash is saying that when the verse says God said it, doesn't mean God said it to himself. It means one of the angels talking to Avram as a representative of God said to Avram, the yelling coming from Sodom and Amorah is great, and God has said, let me go down and see what's really going on in Sodom and Amorah, for I will have to overturn it if it is as bad as I hear, so to speak. And this was all in conversation with Avram. One of the angels was saying this to Avram. Mikan amru, from this order of things, that the angels first told Avram the good news and then the bad news, that Sodom would be overturned, and at this point Sodom is destined to be overturned with Lot, his nephew, and all of his family. From here our sages derived, kol mishum deberim chavero, davar shugnailo, whoever is going to tell his friend something which is a disgrace for him, matchilo bidvarim tovim, should always try to find something good to begin with, vigomer bidavar sheino leratzon lo, and end with something that he's not happy to hear. And from here we also learn the halacha that we always begin laning with something good. We never start in aliyah, in kriyas haTorah, we never start with something negative. And this means we're never supposed to end in aliyah by something that the next aliyah will begin with something negative. We always begin our reading in the Torah with something positive. Minayinan ulmedim, from where do we derive this? Makadosh Bahu, from God. Kshenigla al Avram Avinu, when he appeared to Abraham, our forefather, hitchil mevasro al ha'irayon shel Sarah ishto, he began by giving him the good news that his wife Sarah is going to be pregnant. V'achar kach, and only afterwards, higid lo maaseh Sodom, did he tell him that which would happen in Sodom. Hitchil mevakesh umitchanen lefanav al Lot ben Achiv. When Avram heard this, he began asking and begging God for his nephew Lot. Amar lefanav, he said before him, Ribon kol olami, master of all the worlds, kemot harasha ken yamut hatzadik, does a tzadik die like the wicked? Shenemar, as the verse states, ha'af tispe tzadikim rasha, in anger will you also wipe out the righteous with the wicked? Here the Medrash is learning a few chidushim. Firstly, the Medrash is learning that the first claim Avraham Avinu made in his prayer was about his nephew, not about Sodom and Amorah. The simple reading of the verse, this was an introduction to the claim, spare the cities, maybe there are righteous people there. How could you just overturn the cities? The Medrash is learning, no, it was a claim about one person. So firstly, the Medrash is learning Avraham's first claims were for his nephew. Secondly, this Medrash is coming with an understanding that Avraham viewed his nephew Lot as a tzaddik. And we're going to see that there's strong indication that Lot really was. The Zohar, not that I learned Zohar, but it's quoted by the commentaries here. The Zohar says that God told him, I don't want to save Lot. And Avram didn't ask for mercy specifically for Lot, because he saw that Lot wasn't behaving correctly. So Avram didn't want to lose his own rights before heaven for the sake of his nephew who wasn't behaving the way he should. So Pirkei Reb Lezer is not learning that way. Pirkei Reb Lezer is learning that Avram thought Lot was a tzaddik. And there's another source that says that when Avram went, boiled it down to 10, he said, God, if there are 10, at least spare the city. Avram was thinking about Lot and his sons and his wife, and he figured they're all tzaddikim. We're going to see, he erred. But he thought they were all tzaddikim. So Avram was saying, not in my merits, but because he's a tzaddik, so spare him. And we're going to see that God basically said, okay, but he's not a tzaddik. He saw that Lot made a wrong decision, but that doesn't mean Lot is totally wicked. We're going to see Lot has many merits. But in the end, the Torah attests that Lot was saved with Avram's merits, not with his own merits. Right. God remembered Avram when he overturned Sodom and Gomorrah and saved Lot.
It seems like Avram obviously smart. I mean, how can we say that Avram didn't know that Lot was wicked?
It's unclear that Lot was wicked. We're going to see that Lot basically risked his life. We're going to end up this medrash with a question. Why is Lot called wicked? I don't know clearly why Lot is called wicked. And this medrash, in my opinion, is a very strong support to Lot's being a very, very fine person. I don't think any of us come close to him. Let's see. Let's continue the medrash. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God said to Avram, Avram, chayecha, by your life I swear, bizchut 50 tzadikim eslach lisdom. In the merit of 50 tzadikim, I'm willing to forgive Sodom. Shneimar, as the verse states, im emtzav istom 50 tzadikim veeslach lechol avonam. If I find within Sodom 50 tzadikim, 50 righteous people, I'll forgive all of their sins. Mikan amru, from here our sages said, im yesh 50 tzadikim baolam. If there are 50 righteous people in the world, betzidkatam haolam omed. In their righteousness, the world remains standing. Wow. This is derived from the verse. The verse says, God says, if I find 50 righteous people, v'nasati lechol ha'makom b'avuran, I will be willing to sustain all of the place for them. Why does the verse add the word lechol, all of the place? To indicate that God was saying to Avram, Avram, if there are 50 righteous people in the world, I'll sustain all of the place, meaning all of earth, for those 50 righteous people. Hitchil mevakesh umitchanen lefanav. Avram began asking and begging before God, ad shehigia la'asara, till Avram got down to 10. He said, if there are 10 righteous people, will you forgo? Will you let the city remain? Mikan amru chachamim, from here our sages taught us, im yesh asara tzadikim b'makom b'zchutan ha'makom nitzol. If there are 10 righteous people in a city, in a place, so then in their merit, the place is saved. Shneimar, as the verse states, God conceded, Vayomer, God said, Lo ashchit b'avura asara, I will not destroy for the sake of 10. Rabbi Zeira omer, Rabbi Zeira, Zeira means small one. Rabbi Zeira said, Ashirei olam hayu anshei Sodom. The people of Sodom were the wealthy people of the world. Min ha'aretz ha'tova v'ashmena shayu yishvin aleha. They got so wealthy from the good fat land that they were living upon. Shekol tzorech shebaolam haya yotze mimena. Anything you needed in the world would grow in Sodom and Amora. It was extremely fertile. Shneimar, as the verse states, ve'afrot zahav lo, their earth is gold. B'sha'a shehaya adam yotze umvakesh likach lo yarak, when a person would want to go and take a vegetable, haya omer la'avdo, he'd tell his servant, tze vikach li b'isar yarak, go purchase for me with this small coin, then isar, purchase for me a vegetable. Who lech likach lo yarak? He goes to take a vegetable. Umotzet tachtav zahav. And when he finds under it, you buy vegetables in the store, they have some dirt on them. They bring the dirt home, they wash off the vegetable, they find the dirt's filled with gold. Their dirt was filled with gold. The dirt you bought vegetables with, had gold in it. Shneimar v'afrot zahav lo. The earth had gold. The earth of gold they had, the people of Sodom. V'chesed hayam yotze mimena. Silver also came out of Sodom. Dichtiv ki yesh la kesef motza. They found the source of silver in Sodom. Avanim tovot u'magaliyot hayu yotzim mimena. They had good precious stones in Sodom. Shneimar mekom sapir avaneah. The Sodom was situated in a place where they had sapir, all kinds of precious stone. Lechem haya yotzim mimena. They'd export bread. They had bread in abundance in Sodom. Dichtiv eretz mimena yetze lachem. The land from which bread came out. So they were very wealthy. The people of Sodom were very, very wealthy. ולא בטחו בצל יוצרם, אלא ברוב עושרם. They didn't have faith in their creator, but rather they had faith in their wealth. שהאושר, for wealth, דוחה מבעליו, removes from its master, יראת שמיים, fear of heaven. When a person is wealthy, part of being wealthy is that a person has confidence. A person feels, I could weather any storm, I'm okay. And the second a person has wealth, he should know that it is going to be a great challenge to be a God-fearing person. Sodom and Amorah had it very, very good, so they felt they had no fear of heaven. Habotchim al chilam, they had confidence in their wealth, and that's the natural tendency. Rabbi Yoshua ben Kocha omer, Rabbi Yoshua, the son of the bold one, says, Lo chasu al kvod konam nishbor ochel. They didn't care for the honor of their master to sell food laorech velager, to a guest or a ger, a newcomer to town. Ela pasku et kol eilanot lemala miperotehem. They'd cut down all fruit-bearing trees that were in public domain so they wouldn't give fruit. Meaning, the trees they had in their own orchards, they had guards to watch them. But whatever was outside, you think you're going through the park, you're going through the main street, they have palm trees. No, they cut down the palm trees so that any guest or any newcomer wouldn't have any food to eat. So that even the birds wouldn't derive benefit from them. Shneemar, as the verse states in Eov and Job, Nativ lo yedao ait. That was a path that even the birds didn't frequent. They knew they couldn't find anything to eat in Sodom. Notice that when they don't even sell food to the guests or to the newcomers, that's called that they don't care for the honor of their creator. The verse states in Mishlei, in Proverbs, Umchabedo, one who honors the poor, Umchabedo, one who honors God, Chone Nevyon, is the person who has compassion over the poor. Having compassion over the poor is equal to giving honor to God. When one has no compassion over the poor, that's equal to taking away the honor that we owe God. That's what they did. That's why the Medrash calls it that they didn't care for the honor of their creator. I could try to explain it, but however I explain it is my understanding. So, for what it's worth, and I'm not sure it's worth a lot, I'll tell you the way I understand it, and you decide if it's right or wrong. Or wait and see and learn more, and then you'll see maybe it's wrong. I don't know. God created the world with 10 statements. God said 10 words of creation, 10 sentences of creation, and the world is what we have. God also gave us 10 commandments. Sometimes, when we look around at the world around us, it's difficult to discern that the one who gave the Ten Commandments is the same one who gave the same 10 sentences to create the world. We see a person who's poor, has nothing to eat. On one level, when we help the poor, we're bringing equality to the world. We would expect God created the world, God is caring, God is fair, God wants us to be good. Then God would also give the poor as much as he gives the rich. Everyone would have the same amount. And yet we see inequality. So, on one level, when we actually give the poor, when we give him to eat, we're bringing him up. To an extent, we're removing some of the hardships of accepting that God's running the world. Part of the hardship is that we see people have it rough. What did he do worse than me? Why is he starving for bread and I have bread to give him? So we look at that and we say, God, I have difficulty seeing that you're here. Comes Rosh Hashanah, we say, you run the world, you're the king, we're removing all questions, you're running the world. But all year long, when we say it, we still have it's a little difficult. How do we understand what's happening in the world? So when we bring equality or bring closer to equality, when we help out the poor, so to speak, we're covering for God's honor. We're saying, you're going to have it better. I'll help you out. That's one possible understanding. For sure, for sure. Why are judges called Elohim? They have a certain element where they're supposed to represent God in the world. God says, I don't interfere. If one person steals from someone else, I don't come down and strike him with lightning. But you judges, that's your job. You fix that in the world. That's why when a person has power, he gets a similar name to God's name. He has El. El means power. El also means God. When a person has power, his job is to help the world run in a way that's as though God were running the world. God is running the world, but he doesn't interfere. He gives us the responsibility. When you have power, you have to instill fairness into the world. God himself says, I'll deal with it in the long run. I'll pay him back, if not this way, that way. But we don't see it. We don't know how to understand God's ways. So when we help out someone who has it rough, to an extent, we're giving honor to God. That's one possible understanding. Rabbi Netanel Omer, Rabbi Netanel says, Hekimu alehem shoftim shoftei shekel. They placed upon them judges who would judge with lies. The Gemara says they even gave them names. One was called Lie, one was called Shikra, the other one Shikrirai. They gave them names of lies. They said, your job is to ensure that there's injustice in the land. That's why we're appointing you as judges. We don't know. Different opinions in the Gemara. Avraham Avinu's time, Moshe's time, time of the Shoftim, we don't know.
I thought that this was in reference to the effective spelling of Tadikim, but it was in reference to these Shoftim in the Pasuk.
I don't know.
Spelled correctly seven times and effectively once.
Okay. Shukra.
According to Balazim.
V'chol orech v'ger shaya nichnas b'sdom. Any guest or newcomer, someone who wanted to live in Sdom as a newcomer, hayoshkim b'dinam ha-me'uvat. They would afflict him, they would really penalize him with their improper justice or judicial system. U'motzi'im otam arumim. And they'd afflict the person so much that if you went through Sodom, you'd leave without the clothes on your back. People would leave naked. Nothing. They'd take him to court and sue him for everything until the guy left literally naked. Sheneimar, as the verse states, ve'etager ashku b'lo mishpat. They treated the newcomer unfairly without any justice. Usve'im b'chol tvuat ha'aretz. And they were satiated. They had all the crops, all the different types of grains of the land. Vayu yoshvim lavetach, and they were situated comfortably with confidence. Vishanan vishalva, they had peace, they had tranquility. Belief fachad milchama mikol sivotem, they had no fear of war the last 26 years of their existence, from all that surrounded them. Sveim bechol tuv, satiated with all that was good. Velo hechziku yadam befat lechem, lo leani velo laevyon. They didn't help a poor person nor someone who was really hungry. They wouldn't give him bread. Shneimar, as the verse states, Hine ze haya avon Sodom achotech. This was the sin of Sodom, your sister, that they wouldn't even help the poor and those that were hungry. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Hichrizu v'Sodom v'amru. They proclaimed in Sodom, they said, Kol mishu machzik yado b'fat lechem l'ani, l'ager v'l'avyon. Anyone who helps the poor, the newcomer, the hungry with bread, yisaref ba'esh, will be burnt with fire. That's why they were judged with fire. Pilotit, Bito Shel Lot. Lot's daughter, Pilotit, notice she has Lot's name inside. Pilotit. Pilotit means the one who made it out. When Lot made it out after being captured, she was born. So he named her Pilotit, the one that made it out. So his daughter, Hayta Nesua Lechad Migdolei Sdom, was married to one of the great men of Sdom. And we're going to see that Lot himself had great prominence in Sdom. So it fits that his daughter was married to one of the great men of Sdom. Ra'ata she saw ani echad, one poor person, medukdak, really, really poor, b'chov ha'ir, in the streets of the city. No one would take him in. So that was their rule. You don't take in any guests. You don't take in any poor. So this man is stuck out in the street. No one's taking him in. Ve'agma nafsha alav, and her nefesh wallowed in sorrow over this person. She felt for him. Poor man. Ma'itasa, what would she do? Bechol yom, every day, kshayta yotzet lishov mayim, she'd go out to draw water. Hayta notenet bakad shela mikol mezon beita. She'd take all the different foods she have at home, take a little bit, put it in the bottom of her pitcher, and then everyone thought she was going out to draw water. Really, she was going out with her pitcher filled with food, umchalkel toto ani, and she'd give the poor man to eat. Now, I think that we have to be outside for the pizza. Sorry. But we won't continue because it's not fair. He wants to hear it too. So we'll stop with the song and then we'll continue. We said that Pilotit, Lot's daughter, she saw this poor man. She cared for him, and she'd bring food out when she went to draw water. She'd fill her kad and bring food out to him. The simple understanding is that the girls would go out to draw water, and this was a way of hiding food in her pitcher. But there is a deeper understanding. The word kad is a gematria 24, right? And if we take 24 and multiply it by 3, what do we get? 72. 72 is the gematria of chesed. This math is done by the Yalkut, by Parshas Chayisara, by Rivka, where she does chesed with her kad, and the pasuk speaks about the kad and the kad and the kad. So the Yalkut does the math. The Yalkut says, why is the pasuk stressing Rivka's kad? What's so special about a kad? So kad is a pitcher. So the Midrash says that the kad is where we have the spark of chesed. The kad is the gematria. Now, right, that's because God's name is Chesed. 72 is a lot of things. So that we have to look at the Yalkut there. I don't know. So Lot's daughter is doing Chesed, and that's a spark of holiness that is going to be within Lot's home. And that spark is going to give forth fruits generations to come. And we'll see that in a minute. Amru anshei Sodom, the people of Sodom said, Hani azeh me'ayin uchai. There's a poor man who came to town. He's sticking around town. How's he living? Where is he getting food from? Till they found out, they took her out to be burned. So here we have a noble, an important man in Sodom. His wife, who happens to be the daughter of an important man in Sodom of Lot, and the people, the Sodomites, say, we're not changing our ways. She's helping the poor, so she gets the death penalty, she gets burned to death. Amra, She was being taken to be killed, and she said, Elohei Olam, God of the world, Asei Mishpati V'dini Me'anshei Sodom. You, I'm leaving it for you to take my vengeance, to do my justice from the people of Sodom. Ve'aleta za'akata lifnei kisei akavod. And her yelling as she was burnt to death went up before the holy throne. And that's what God says. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Erdana ve'ere, let me go down and see. Haketzakata, is it like her yelling? Haba Eli that came before me? In ketzakata na'ara su anshei Sodom. If, like the yelling of this girl, the people of Sodom did, efoch yusodotea shela lemala ufanea lemata. I will overturn it so that its foundation will be up and its face will be down. Shenemar, as the verse says, Haketzakata. Is it like her yell? Haketzakata minktiv. The verse doesn't say, is it like their yelling? Ela haketzakata. But rather, is it like her yelling? The verse is referring to a girl. He's referring to the daughter of Lot. We find that Lot had children. One was named Ammon, and one was named Moab. And each of those children had many children, and they became the Ammonites and the Moabites, two people. Lot married a woman from Sodom. Lot's own children were Sodomim, Sodomites. Lot, is, we're going to learn, is saved together with his children. And when the Jews come to the land of Israel, God warns the Jews, don't harm the Sodomites, the Moabites and the Ammonites. Moab, Ammon and Moab, the offsprings of Lot, they're entitled to that piece of land. Do not harm them. Do not fight them. We have a tradition. God said, I have two kernels. I have two special things that are supposed to come out of Ammon and Moab. Rut, the great-great-grandmother of David. And Naamah Ammonit, who also was one of the mothers who had offsprings within the Davidic dynasty. So Lot's family lived in Sodom, where people did not offer people food. When the Jews passed by Ammon and Moab make a boycott. They say, we don't sell food to Jews. What did the people of Sodom and Amorah do? They said, when someone comes into Sodom and Amorah, don't even sell them food. And we'll end up taking them to court and we'll end up ensuring that they lose all their money. What does Lot's offsprings do when the Jews walk by? They also make a boycott. They don't sell. And that's why God says, Lo yavo Ammoni u'Moavi bikal Hashem. An Ammonite or a Moabite may not marry into the congregation of Hashem, into the Jewish people. Along come our sages and have a discussion. Does this verse preclude only males? Or does the verse also mean that females may not marry into the Jewish people? We have a tradition going back to Moshe that only males may not marry into the Jewish people. Now let's look at Lot. What happened? His daughter went and risked her life to bring food to a poor man. And so too, the Ammonites and Moabites, we don't hold it against their daughters that they didn't bring us food. Maybe it was out of modesty. It wasn't their job, it was their husband's job. Their husbands laid the boycott on us. And so we say, if a female from Ammon and Moab wants to join the Jewish people, marry a young Jewish man, she may. That's what it seems. I don't know. Sometimes if you don't have room for a claim, you don't lay a claim. Sometimes we don't say, well, we know what you thought, but you weren't held accountable for it. Sometimes we say it this way and sometimes we say that way. If a person says, so there's a difference between active and passive. If I come in and I say, I want pig. I call my wife and I say, you know, I feel like having pig tonight. Make me pig. My wife takes some white meat, white kosher meat, and makes me a steak. I come home and she says, look, it was really tough, but you wanted it. You're my husband. I didn't want to go against what you asked. Here, have some pig. I sit down and I gobble it down and I say, that was the best meat I ever had. When I come up to heaven, they tell me, why'd you eat pig? I say, my yetzer got the better of me. And they say, okay, you didn't really eat pig, but in your mind you wanted to eat pig. Your wife tricked you. You thought you were eating pig that day. You didn't eat pig, but we're still going to take you to test because you wanted to sin. You went up and did something because you wanted to sin. It didn't work out for you, but your intent was to sin. So they will hold the person accountable for that. But let's say I desperately wanted to go into a restaurant and buy pig. And I reach into my pocket and I say, I left my wallet at home. So they're not going to come to me in heaven and say, you wanted to buy pig, but I didn't. They won't say, yeah, but we know if you would have had money, you would have bought that pig. But I didn't. The women of Ammon and Moab, it wasn't their job to go out and bring the food and water. So does it make a difference whether they didn't do it because they hated us or they didn't do it because it wasn't their job? Bottom line, it wasn't their job. So the court case doesn't begin against them. We don't start saying, yeah, but we know they didn't want to do it anyways. But bottom line, it wasn't their responsibility. So whether it was because of this or because of that, it doesn't have so much relevance. You understand the difference? There's a difference between actively doing something, then we say, well, if you did something, then what you thought counts. But it's intention in action.
If they could do the action, then maybe they should be held accountable. They had no chance.
Sometimes we say machshava ra'a, an evil action, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzafa lemaaseh. But that's an evil active action. You can't say for an evil passive action. What's the action? A boycott. I'm not going to sell you food. What's the evil thought? I don't like them, so I won't sell them food. But I'm not the one that's selling food. If I had food, I wouldn't sell them. That's already like going too far. We don't say that. I don't think so. I mean, what I'm telling you now is my understanding. But as far as I understand, that's what I understand. I don't have a proof for what I'm saying, but that's how I understand it. If you want to look, it is discussed by the Kli Chemda about Machshava Ra'a Kadosh Baruch Hu Mitzafa Lemaaseh by non-Jews. Somewhere in Bereishis, I think. I don't remember where. I don't remember. The Kli Chemda discussed it. This is, for some reason, this is an understanding I have, but I don't have proof for it. So I'm not sure I'm right. But this is the way I think it is. That's what I think. Yeah.
Well, if this, I don't know any sources one way or another, but it fits well with something I was reading to Rav Elias of Berkowitz. It was an essay that was basically, Rav Berkowitz was comparing Judaism to non-Jewish philosophies, and he just said basically the cloud Judaism. There's a lot of other philosophies, like to say, you know, all the intention, you know, whatever, if you wanted to do it, and then you just have some nice lofty thoughts. And he says, no, like Judaism says you have like these specific laws that you have to do it this way. Like, they'll just, it's nice to help poor people. You gotta give this much money in this situation. This, because Judaism says it's the action. It's not just the intent, but it's the action, the concrete outcome of the action. So it would fit with that.
Yeah, that's definitely so to an extent. But again, we do have the rule in Judaism, the Machshava Tova Kadosh Baruch Hu Mitzafa Lemaaseh. We say, if you wanted to give charity, but the poor man walked away and you didn't catch up to him, as far as God's concerned, you give charity. When you do everything that's within your power to perform a mitzvah, and you want to do the mitzvah, and then you don't, so in heaven they say, okay, it's like you did the action. There is that aspect. And that doesn't preclude what you're saying. They don't contradict. If you think about it, it's not a contradiction. All it's saying is that when you do your best, and then you can't, but it begins with doing your best. You do have to do. It's not enough just to think, right?
Also, I wonder, maybe, I don't know, maybe it's like, you're saying, like, you know, you wanted to go to the non-kosher restaurant, but you weren't able to, so it doesn't count at all. But you wanted to give tzedakah, but you couldn't, but you wanted to, so God does count that. So maybe he does count when you wanted to do a mitzvah.
That's true by Jews. The Kli Chemda claims that's only true by Jews. Machshava Tova, Kadosh Baruch Hu Mitzafa Lemaaseh. And I think maybe it's in the parashas where Avimelech wanted to take, maybe by Sarah, where Paro wanted to take Sarah. Maybe over there he discusses it. I think it's somewhere in Bereishis. So the Kli Chemda claims that that's only a Jewish rule. That Machshava Tova, by good, God doesn't connect it with action, and by bad, God does. Vice versa, the other way around. Okay, back to our picket of Lezer. So, V'chenu Umer, so too the verse teaches us, Holechet Chachamim Yechkam. If you go with wise people, you become wise. Lemau Dome, what's the similar to? Lemish Nichnas Evitam Rakhim. If you go into a place where they're busy putting together perfumes, Afapish Lo Lakach Velo Natan Klum, even though he didn't purchase or sell anything, Mikol Makom Lakach Ha'achtov Otzimo. He absorbs the good smell and takes it out with him. Kach, so too. Kol Mishu Ulechim Tzadikim. Whoever goes with the righteous, Lokach Midachem U'Masem Atovim. He adapts their ways and their good actions. So, that's what we're saying. Lot's daughter is risking her life to help a poor person. She has compassion. She cares when she sees a man hungry. Where'd she get that from? She got that from her father. Where'd he get that from? He got that from the fact that he was accompanying Avram. You go with a good person, you adopt his traits. I feel that the best way to adopt good traits is to try to stick to people who have them. When you're next to a person who has good traits, so then it rubs off. That's what this Medrash is saying. I still today, some chavrusas I have, because I feel like they have certain traits that I want to acquire. So if I'll be close to this person, so then I'm hoping that it'll rub off on me too. To learn a trait in theory is nice, it's important, but that doesn't put it within us. That still leaves a lot of ground to cover before one can apply that trait. When we're next to someone who behaves that way, then it more easily goes over to us. We see it. We see it now in theory, in practice, and then it rubs off. The verse continues, V'roech silim yiroa. If someone is with the fools, he ends up being damaged. L'ma hu dume, what's that similar to? What's he similar to? L'adam shu nechnas avet babulski. A man walks into a tannery, a place where the working hides. Av al pish lo natan lo lakach klum. Even though he didn't give or take anything. Mikol makom recha kalat. Nonetheless, he absorbed the bad smell. V'otzi imon. When he comes out, he smells of that. Kach mishu ulechim al shaim, so too whoever goes with the wicked, lokech midachim u'masem ha'raim. He ends up adopting some of their ways, some of their bad, evil actions. Shenem. As the verse states, v'roech sirim yiroa, if you go with fools, you get damaged. Tavar acher, another understanding, olechet chachamim yechkam, the verse that says, he who goes with the wise becomes smart, ze lot, that's a reference to Lot. Shayam alechim avram avinu, he went with Avram, our forefather, v'lamad m'masav midachav tomvim. And he learned from his good actions, his good ways. Amru, they said, Me'asa Avram Avinu, what did Avram used to do? Asalo Beit, he made himself a home, Kovel, opposite, Lecharan, the city of Charan. So, Kol Mishu Nechnas Yitzel Charan, any person who was traveling and wanted to enter the city of Charan, Hayam Mekablo, he had to pass Avram's house. His house was like on the exit ramp. You want to enter Charan, you have to pass by Avram. Avram would accept the person, v'noten lo machalo mashkeu. He'd give him to eat, he'd give him to drink. V'omer lo, and as the person's there, Avram would teach him, echad u'elohim ba'olam, God is singular in the world. So Avram makes his house by the exit ramp. You're coming into Haran, so you pass by Avram's house, and that's where you could get something to eat and drink. Uchsheba lot lisdom, and when Lot came to Sodom, he did the same thing. We find Lot's tents reached the entrance to Sodom. That's what Lot did. He said, I want to live by the entrance. I can't be in the city and help the poor. When I'm in the outskirts, when I'm by the entrance to the city, there I'll have an easier time getting away with it. וכיוון שהכריזו אנשי סדום ואמרו כל מישהו מחזיק ידו ופת לחם לעני ולאביון יישרף באש, and when the Sodomites announced that whoever gives bread to the poor will get burnt, he was scared of doing it by day, he did it by night. So now, Lot, let's remember what's going on here. His daughter just got burnt. She got burnt at the stake for helping the poor. And now this poor father, Lot, is in his home after his wife was just, his daughter was just killed, and he sees two people coming to town. Two strangers. He doesn't know them. Ra'a shnei ha-malachim. He saw the two angels. V'haya savur she'enochei ha'aretz. He thought they were guests of the land. V'ratz likatam. He ran towards them. Shenemar, as the verse states, V'yavor shnei ha-malachim sdoma ba'erev. The two angels came to Sodom in the evening. V'yar Lot saw them. V'yarotz likatam. He ran towards them. V'lama haya yoshev Lot b'shar Sodom. Why was Lot sitting by the city gates? Ela shoto yom inu alem. On that day they appointed him, he became a judge that day. Heviyam, he took the angels in, Vamalem, he said to them, Bow, come, velinu betoch beiti, rest in my home, ve'ichlu ushtu, eat and drink, v'telchu ledachechem shalom, and then you'll leave to your way in peace. He meant you'll leave in the morning, so we won't get caught. Ve'lo kiblu anashim aleihem. They refused. Ve'chzik biyadam, Lot grabbed their hands, shelo virtzonam, against their will, ve'echnis otam betoch beito, and he took them into his house. Lot thinks he's doing them a favor. They're saying, no, no, no. He grabs the hands and says, you're with me, come. Shenemar, as the verse states, Vayiftzar bam me'od. He insisted. He went again and again till finally he insisted. Ra'otam nar echad manshei Sodom. One of the lads of the people of Sodom saw them, v'yatza v'yigid lehem, and he went out and told. V'nitkabtzu elav kulam el petach habayit. So everyone gathered to the entrance of his house, lasot k'minagam, to do as was their custom. Amru elot, they said to Lot, Ayei ha'anashim asher ba'u elecha halayla, where are the people who came to you tonight? Hotziyem eleinu, send them out to us, take them out to us, v'nei de'a otam, and we will know them, we'll do to them as is our custom. Rotzim anu la'asot keminageinu, we want to do like our custom. Me'asa Lot, what did Lot do? Keshem shenatan Moshe Rabbeinu nafsho al Yisrael. Just as Moshe Rabbeinu was willing to give up his soul for the Jewish people, kach natan Lot nafsho alehem. So too Lot was willing to give up his life for these two guests. What's the Midrash saying? Lot, we're equating Lot with Moshe Rabbeinu. It doesn't say that about me. Lot, you know, we're used to saying all kinds of derogatory things about Lot. The Midrash just equated him with Moshe. Yeah. He was willing to give his life for these two guests. Lakach shtei benotav. He took his two daughters, votzi lehem tachat shnei malachim, and he sent them out instead of the two angels. Shneimar, as the verse states, hinei nali, behold, here I have shtei benot, two daughters. So this Medrash is understanding not that Lot made an offer. Behold, I have two daughters. I'll take them out and let them be instead. But that he did. Ve'lo kiblu ha'anashim, and the people were not willing to accept them. There is a source that says that they took his two daughters. They said, okay, they took the two daughters, and then they said, but now we want the men. Me'asu lehem ha'malachim, what did the angels do? Hiku tam be'ivaron, they blinded them. Ad shalah amud ha'shachar, till the morning. Notice the Midrash is stressing. They were blind till the morning. But they didn't die blind. God wanted them to see as it happened, as they were being punished. It's interesting, even if they did take the two daughters, the angels tell him, take your two daughters and we'll go. Nothing bad has happened to them. You gave them out as though to save us, but now let's take them back. We're all leaving the city. The city is going to be destroyed. They haven't yet harmed them. They're all blind. They haven't harmed them. Kivan shala mudashachar. When morning came, hakol b'mida. Everything is measured by God. Keshem shechzik lahem b'yadam. Just as he held their hands and insisted, come into my home, shelov chirtzonam, against their will, v'ichnisam betoch beito, he brought them into his home, kach echziku v'yado v'yad ishto v'yad shnei v'notav otziyum b'chutz. So too they held his hand and his wife's hand and his two daughters' hands and took them outside. What does that mean? Why were these angels sent? God told them, go save Lot. So what does it mean, because he held their hands? Because they were told, go save Lot. So they came and they said, Mr. Lot, the city is going to be overturned. You have to leave. And Lot said, just a minute. I have a little bit more money there and a little bit more money there. And he started loading his pockets. And they said, Lot, we got to go. And Lot said, one minute, just a second. You guys know men do that sometimes. Just a minute. You know, I was once talking to someone and I said, give me just a minute. And she was a woman. She said, tell me, is it a male minute or a female minute? Men always say, give me 1 minute. So Lot was saying, give me a minute. I got to get just another thing there, another thing there. Until the angels grabbed him by the hands and took him out. Now, that the angels didn't have to do. They were sent there to save him. Now he's being a fool, so to speak. He's risking his life for more money. They didn't have to take him by the hands and take him out against his will. But because he exhibited righteousness when they came to Sodom, he grabbed them by the hands and said, no, you're coming into my house. I know what's going to happen here if you stick around. You come in, come, have something to eat and drink. In the morning you'll go. Because he exhibited extra righteousness, so the angels went one step further towards him. And even though he was doing something foolish, they grabbed him by the hands and took him out of Sodom. Now the angel told them, "Al tabitu achechem, don't look back. Sharei yarad shchinato shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu sheyamtir al Sodom ve'al Amora gofrit ve'esh. For God's Shechina has descended. God is going to pour down on Sodom and Amora sulfur and fire." Idit ishto shelot. Lot's wife's name, her name was Idit. Others have the version her name was Irit, Iris. Either Irit or Idit, different versions in the Medrash. Nichmeru rachamei al binoteha. Her compassion, she was Lot's wife, she was a Sodomite. And her compassion went out for her daughters that were married in Sodom. They had tried to convince them to come out and they laughed at them. They had tried telling the daughters, the sons-in-law, the city is going to be overturned, come, and they laughed at them. So as she's leaving, she knows her daughters are, that's what's happening to them. Her compassion overwhelmed her towards her married daughters. She turned around and looked back, to see maybe they were following, maybe her daughters were coming, maybe not. When she turned back, she saw the Shechina, ve'na'asit netziv melech. And she became a pillar of salt. Sodom was overturned and became the place of Yam HaMelech. She became a pillar of salt next to Yam HaMelech. V'adayin yomedet. The Medrash says she's still there. Kol hayom lochachim otah shvarim. All day long, oxen come and they lick down this pillar of salt. V'yoret al raglah. And the pillar disintegrates down to the feet. They lick it all up. Uvaboker, and in the morning, tzomachat. It grows again, and the oxen come again to lick down the salt. Shneimar, the verse states, Vatabet ishto me'acharav, vati netziv melech. His wife looked behind her, and she became a pillar of salt. And here the Medrash ends the chapter, but we have a few points to add on. It seems that this pillar of salt was a famous thing, because the Gemara discusses what bracha you make when you see this pillar of salt. It's discussed. It seems in the time of the Gemara, it was still around, that God left remnants of this miracle. There was a special bracha the rabbis instituted when you see it. Now, at some point, it's near the Yam HaMelech. At some point, there was an earthquake, and the Yam HaMelech expanded beyond its boundaries, and it expanded to encompass over where she was standing. And that's probably why the Rambam, when he brings the laws of blessings, makes no mention of this blessing, because in his time, the blessing was no longer relevant, because you could no longer see it. So the Rambam doesn't quote this halacha. So that's the beautiful Medrash we saw today. Let's recount what we saw. We began the Medrash by discussing the third time that God came down to see what was happening in Sodom. And we said that God said, I have to reveal to Avram before I make such a huge occurrence, the destruction of Sodom. God appeared to Avram with the vision of the three angels. One angel came and from here we derived that first he gave good news and told them that Sarah was pregnant. The second one told them about what's happening in Sodom and Amorah, from which our sages derive that you say good news first. Avram began by begging for Lot, and God said, for 50 people I'll forgive Sodom, and from here we derive that for 50 righteous people the world can be sustained, and for 10 righteous people a place can be saved. We went on to discuss the wealth of the people of Sodom, and that wealth caused them not to be God-fearing. They distanced all guests, all newcomers, cut down the public fruit trees so that even the birds wouldn't have a place to come in Sodom. They established judges who were liars to ensure that anyone that enters Sodom would leave the city naked. They'd steal everything from them. They had everything that was good. They had nothing to worry about. And they announced that anyone that gives food to the poor or the newcomers will get burnt. Lot's daughter Plotit tried to give one poor man to eat, and when they were on her, they burnt her to death. She yelled out to God, and God said, if it's like her yelling, and that's when God descended the third time, God said, if it's like her yelling, I will overturn it. And the the good trait that was within her was something that rubbed off onto Lot and onto her. Lot got the good traits from Avram, and that's why he lived at the entrance to the city, just like Avram lived at the entrance to Haran, that anyone that came he tried to take in, initially by day and after the decree by night. He took the two angels by their hands and forced them to come in, and then when the people of Sodom came, he went out and offered his two daughters. They took him by the hands, and when the morning came, they took him out of the city. The people's blindness was removed so that they would see it overturned. Lot was warned not to look back, him, his daughters, and his wife. His wife, Edith, looked back to see if her married daughters were following. She became a pillar of salt, which is licked by the oxen every day and grows back up again the following morning. And that was a quick summary of what we saw tonight in the 25th chapter of Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer.